अनुजानिहि तवानोचर किंकरो दर्शनम नौ भगवता ऋषेरासिद अनुग्रहात अनु ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिविदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ओ सुप्रीम फॉर्म वी आर ऑलवेज सर्वेंट्स ऑफ योर सर्वेंट्स especially of Narad Muni. Now give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narad Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. Purport. Unless delivered or blessed by a devotee, one cannot realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. According to this verse of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, there are so many siddhas or yogis who cannot understand Krishna. Instead, they misunderstand him. But if one takes shelter of a devotee descending from the parampara system of Narada, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, one can then understand who is an incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, many pseudo-incarnations are advertised simply for having exhibited some magical performances. But except for persons who are servants of Narada and other servants of Krishna, no one can understand who is God and who is not. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva. No one is delivered from the material conception of life unless favored by a Vaishnava. Others can never understand, neither by speculation nor by any other bodily or mental gymnastics. From Canto 10, Chapter 10, Verse Number 37. O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servant. When I read this prayer first time, the first thing that came to my mind was, they are again sent to their same heavenly abode. They are asking permission to go back. What will happen next? Will they again succumb to the same heavenly pleasures and forget Krishna? But in the further verses, Krishna assures them, which gives a very big solace, that once somebody has served Guru and accepted the instructions of a spiritual master seriously, and he knows Krishna in Tattva, then he will not come back. Krishna gives them assurance that, don't worry, you shall not come back. Once gone to the abode, you'll realize me fully, and after that, you'll go back to Godhead. That is the confirmation of Krishna, which is a very, very solacing aspect. So in this verse, as we read, there are many themes which Prabhupada emphasizes. The first is that without the mercy of a devotee, one cannot realize or one cannot recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narad Muni has cursed Nalakuvar and Manigreev, and after so many years of their existence as trees, they've got darshan of Krishna, and after that they are now in these prayers actually accepting and recognizing that curse as mercy. Rishir Asid Anugrahat. This is a anugraha on us. Up till now, we've been reading just the purpose that where it is mentioned that it is a mercy on them. But now here, they're actually saying that, yes, it is an anugraha on us. And we are very grateful for that. Very grateful to Narad Muni, who by His mercy, has allowed us to see you face to face, to understand you fully. And the next is, as the first thing they are saying is, who are we? They are recognizing themselves as Anuchara Kinkara. When we see their previous life and we see these prayers are so eloquent and so genuine. They just, although they are from heavenly planets, we might think that, you know, they might be having very good language, they might be able to compose nice poetry. But when we read these prayers, they are so heartfelt and genuine. Just by the association of a sadhu, not only their material desires have evaporated, but at the same time, the genuine love for Krishna has arisen. As Damodar Ashtakam says, that you have given us the prema bhakti. By the mercy of Narad Muni, from a fallen state, they have been arisen to the state of prema bhakti. So such is the importance of a sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi. Lavamatra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoi. Amazing coincidence arranged where they are there enjoying in the Mandakini Ganga, and there Narad Muni comes and curses them. He had no business to go there, but just to show his anugraha on these princes or in these sons of Kuvera, Narad Muni went there and cursed him to become the trees. But we can see with this prayer that such amazing genuine feelings have arisen in their heart, and they are actually praying to Krishna, actually understanding his form, who he is, recognizing the shastras exist. But until unless you get the mercy of a devotee, to understand the shastra is so difficult. As Prabhupada is saying here, manushyanam sahasreshu. So many people read shastra, but not everybody understands. By the mercy of a pure devotee, then only can one get the mercy of Krishna. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Dushyanta Thakur, he mentions that how a devotee gets, how bhakti is causeless. You know, I somehow like this point very much. It says that bhakti is causeless, but still bhakti has a cause. And what is that cause? Vishnu Thakur mentions that the cause of bhakti in one heart is bhakti. Bhakti is cause of bhakti. The bhakti in the heart of a pure devotee is the cause of bhakti given to a new devotee. Until unless a devotee has compassion and glances upon a newcomer, a new person, the devotional feelings won't arise. Lord Krishna shall not glance on him until unless a pure devotee's mercy is spread on him. Actually, these prayers are like the gist in the realization of their life. They must have been standing there seeing all the leelas of Krishna, but wanting to pray to him. But now is the chance they've got that they can pray to him. Although as trees, even if they pray in that existence, Krishna would have heard. He understands all the languages. But here, as they've got their heavenly form again, now they've taken this chance and they are praying. Understanding the Krishna Tattva by the mercy of Guru. This theme of Dasanudas is the sum and substance of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he's singing and dancing in Lord Jagannath Rathyatra in Jagannath Puri, he recites several verses. And one of the verses which he recites, Hunaham vipro nachana rapati napi vaisho nashudro. Naham navarani chagrahapati navanastho yatirva. Kintu prodhyana khila paramananda. Purna amritabdher gopi bhartur padakamalayor dasa dasa anudasaha. Where he's saying that so many varna I don't belong to, and so many ashramas I don't belong to. I belong as a servant of servant of servant of that Krishna who is the reservoir of supreme bliss and who maintains the gopis, damsels of Vrindavan. That is my only identity. Actually, whenever we start the deity worship, we go through this process of purifying the material existence, and in that, before entering in the altar and dressing Shri Radha Gopinath, we first begin with this prayer that I am not entering as what I am, this Das, but I am entering as Das and Das and Das of Krishna, the spiritual master. Also, Srila Vyasadev gave us the spiritual knowledge in the forms of Vedas. And all these Vedas, which is a huge ocean of enlightenment, he compressed it in the form of Vedanta, that is the Upanishads. Furthermore, he thought of compressing them and he took them in the code form, and that is the Vedanta Sutra, the Brahma Sutra, the essence of the Vedas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence or the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutras. As the third verse of the first canto, first chapter, Nigama Galpataro Galitam Phalam, it mentions that how Srimad Bhagavatam is what? It's a ripened fruit, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. And this cream of Vedic knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, is many times known as that Puran where the story of Vritrasura is mentioned. In this Vritrasura Chatishloki, the four prayers that he directly addresses to Supreme Lord, in the first prayer, the very first desire, what he mentions?
Aham Hareta Vapadai Kamulam Dasanudaso Bhavitashmi Bhuyaha Manasmatista Shupater Gunamste Girinitava Karma Karotikayaha.
Over here, Vritrasur, in his first prayer to Supreme Lord, is mentioning that what does he want to become? He says, I want to become the servant of your servants.
Aham Hare Tava Padaika Mulam Dasanu Daso Bhavitashmi Bhuya.
When, O Lord, shall I go back to the spiritual world and serve your servants again? When shall I become the servant of the servant of the servant of your devotees? And furthermore, what shall I do there? As I'm serving your servants, I shall dedicate my mind, my body, and my words in your service and in their service. Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar of Devotion introduction, he mentions that when Rupa Goswami mentions the definition of Uttama Bhakti, in which the word comes Krishna Anushilanam, Anukullena Krishnanu, where Prabhupada says that Krishna not only means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it also, this term Krishna, as is included in the verse, it also includes Krishna, all his incarnations, as well as all his devotees. So whatever activities you do to serve the pure devotees is also service to Krishna directly. But what service will you do? That service, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, Manasa Deha Geho Jo Kichu Mor Arpilo Tuyapade Ananda Kishore. In the purport to the first prayer of Vritrasura, Prabhupada mentions that how that this is the first desire and the longing that Vritrasura is expressing, to be servant of a servant. A direct request to the Lord as he shall be killed. He's about to die. He knows that Indra will very soon kill him. And he's requesting Indra to kill him fast. Because he's eager to go back to the spiritual world. Not just to enjoy with Krishna, but to become a servant of servant. Prabhupada mentions the first word, the first line, that this is the sum and substance of the devotional life, dasanu dasa. The sum and substance of the abhidheya, the process of devotional service. And how does one serve under the spiritual master? The mind is engaged in remembering the Lord. The body is engaged in serving the Lord physically, and the words in glorifying the Lord. The beautiful shloka which His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is to chant every morning. Jnanat avalambika kechit, kechit karma avalambika, vayam tu haridasanam padatrayam avalambika. Amazing humility, where he's saying some people depend on jnana. Jnanat avalambika kechit, for their existence and for their spiritual advancement, some devotees, they are dependent on jnana. Jnanat avalambika kechit, kechit karma avalambika, and some depend on their karma. Vayam tu haridasanam, but we, the servants of Lord Hari, but whom do we depend on? Here he's saying not that we are depending on the lotus feet of the devotees. He's saying padatrayam, we depend on the shoes of the devotees. That is, we serve the shoes of the devotees, taking oneself to such humble position where we worship the lotus feet, not only the lotus feet, but padatrayam, one which adorns the lotus feet, and that is the lotus shoes of the Lord, of devotees. This theme of dasanudas is also very nicely spoken by Tukaram Maharaj in one of very nice abhangas, where he says that he's boldly proclaiming that give me birth, O Lord, give me birth again, I don't mind. But give me birth as what? As servant of your servants. He's saying, Maza dasakari tyacha santa dasancha dasacha. Saying, make me the servant of your saintly devotees. Servant of his servant. Maga hota kalpazari sukhe garbhavasa hari. Maga hota kalpazari. Even if a kalpa is gone, I'm ready to take birth again and again. But as what? As a dasanudas of your devotees. Neecha vritti zari kaam tari mukhi tuse naam. Although let me be born in a lowly family, but let your name, your holy name, adorn my tongue. Tuka mane aikave maje sankalpa vesave. That is my only desire, to be born as servant of your servants and perform your devotional service. King Kulashekhar, you know, when this word dasanudas comes, we cannot forget that famous verse, the 25th verse of the Mukundamala Stotra. Majjanma matphalamidam madhukai tabhare madaprarthaniya madanugrahae shayeva tava bhritya bhritya paricharaka bhritya bhritya bhrityasya bhritya iti mam smara lokanatha. Here he has repeated this word bhritya 7 times. Let me be the servant of your 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 servant. So somebody might think, you know, this is just, you know, just for the poetry's sake. He's repeating again and again. But His Holiness Satsarup Goswami Maharaj, Satvadas Goswami Maharaj, he explains in Mukundamala Stotra, where he has given his commentary, that this is not just a repetition, the figure of speech which people use, you know, just repeating one word again and again, just for classical poetry. But here, he's actually giving the perfect description of parampara. How one has to be servant of servant of servant. And then he gives a very, very detailed purport as to why one should serve devotees of devotees of devotees of Krishna. He's mentioning how Srimati Radharani is serving Krishna directly in Golok Vrindavan, who is assisted by gopis and then manjaris. And there are some spiritual masters who serve Krishna in Madhurya Ras and they have disciples. Similarly like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is intimately served by the six Goswamis, who has been served by devotees like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And again, they are served by a disciplic line. And there, Srila Prabhupada is the 11th spiritual master. He mentions that. He's the 11th spiritual master. And under them, there are so many Vartaman Acharyas. So serving under the spiritual master is the right way to serve Krishna. But then question comes, why to serve Krishna? Why is such emphasis? You know, not only is he emphasizing that let me be das, 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 let me be a servant, but he's saying, let me be not your direct servant. Let me be not your direct servant. I don't want to be directly your servant. Seven times he's emphasizing. I don't want to be a direct servant. I don't want to be a direct servant. But I want to be servant of servant of servant of servant of your devotees. Why such emphasis? Why not directly serve Krishna when you are self-realized? At this position when King Kulashekhar is writing these prayers, he has seen Krishna in his tree-bending form. And then suddenly he leaves. And as we went to South India Yatra, we saw that Mandapa in the Anantapadmanabhan temple where there's a mandap where it is said that Kulashekhar Maharaj sat and wrote the Mukundamala Stotra. So why not serve Krishna directly? Why to have that Dasanudas mood? So he's saying that first of all, to serve the servants, you know, because as we hear that word servant, you know, anybody who comes first to Krishna consciousness and hears this term, servant of the servant, you know, it the memories of past is, you know, slave, you know, something like the slaves of Egypt, you know, where they are toiling hard, they don't have time to eat, they don't have time to sleep, but they have to serve the order of the king. Servant is taken to be very cheap word in the material sense, where servant means one who has to give up his life for the master and who is basically, you know, exploited. But Maharaj is giving a clear definition, saying that it is not a demeaning thing, but the best way to please the Lord. As Prahlad Maharaj says to Hiranyakashipu, that if you want to be successful, the best thing to do is to serve or bathe one in the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. And then further he gives, why not to serve directly? He's saying that because Krishna won't accept your service directly. Who are we to serve in our conditioned stage directly to Krishna? In this conditioned stage, our message shall not reach Krishna until unless there is a transparent via medium of Sri Guru and Parampara. The best way to please the Lord is to please His devotees, to serve His devotees. The Adi Puran mentions, Yeme bhakta janaha partha name bhaktas chate janaha mad bhaktam chaye bhaktas teme bhaktot mataha mataha. The devotees are so dear to the Lord that he's saying that one who calls myself, one who calls one to be devotee of mine, I shall not consider to be my devotee, but one who considers oneself to be devotee of my devotees, I shall consider him a devotee. So clear declaration that if you want to serve Krishna, you have to serve his devotees. And once that service is purified, slowly, slowly, then that devotee he makes this offering go to Krishna. When we, you know, as pujaris, when we are offering bhoga to the Lord, the first thing that we do is make the spiritual master and the param guru sit on the asana, and under their supervision the entire offering goes. The concept is that I am not doing it, but on the behalf of spiritual master, under his direction, under his direct supervision, the service goes on. You know, further he mentions that how Prabhupada's favorite example, that if you want to serve a great man, if you want to please him, please his dog, the pet dog. The pet servant, the loyal servant of a great man, if you serve him, then only you will get entrance into the inner circle of that great man. So if you want to serve Krishna, serve his pure devotees. And third reason he gives is, devotees are naturally humble. They don't want to take the position of, you know, showing off that they are directly serving Krishna. They want to take the humble position of being servant of his servant of his servant. Today is a very special day, being the incorporation of ISKCON. I would like to just, you know, narrate the incident where the incorporation was done. We also have received that mercy of a pure devotee in the form of this legacy of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. His Holiness Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, in his beautiful rendition of Srila Prabhupada's life and activities that happened, he mentions this, that how Srila Prabhupada always wanted that the society be registered so that a legal existence comes to the society. But everybody was wondering that, you know, why to legalize it? You know, it is just a small storefront. It is not going to expand more further. No, why to do that? But Prabhupada had started planning from spring itself, from March. He had started planning that, you know, how one we should. He had struck this idea that we should definitely incorporate ISKCON. So furthermore, as he's talking about this to people, one of the people who come to the storefront is Carl Jens. He's asking Carl Jens that, you know, find me a lawyer, because to incorporate means to have legal dealings, legal proceedings. So why not have a proper lawyer to do the whole proceeding? So then Carl Jens, he finds out a very nice Jewish, very gentlemanly lawyer. His name is Smith Goldsmith. And this Stephen Goldsmith is a lawyer who's having a lot of spiritual inclination. He has one wife, two children, and who likes an idea to serve an Indian Swami, to establish a legal society. Actually, on the July 11th, Prabhupada just very casually mentions. So, you know, he laughs very gradually and says that we will mention our society as ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So some people say that, you know, why Krishna Consciousness? Why not God Consciousness? You know, Krishna Consciousness, if you mention, might put some devotees off. Some new people off, and say they might not come to the storefront. But then Prabhupada very emphatically says that it has to be Krishna Consciousness, because mentioning Krishna means being very exact and scientific. If you mention God Consciousness, that is a spiritually weak term and it is less personal. And in any case, if somebody does not know about Krishna, that is why precisely we are forming a society. It is our work to preach and extol the glories of Krishna and convince them that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So Mr. Goldsmith started coming to the storefront and attending the lecture, and he is the only non-hippie character there. Everybody is in strange clothes, but he is in very nice, neat clothes, sitting down there. So Prabhupada is mentioning about how Bhagavad Gita is misrepresented, misinterpreted by so many people. And that is saying that how our friend, Mr. Goldsmith, he's a lawyer. He knows, he can tell you how once I was in Calcutta, and there was a law taken out by the government, but a lawyer, he misinterpreted that law in such a drastic way that the government very hastily had to amend on it and bring out an entire different law. So it is very important that one should listen from a proper bona fide parampara. And then he says, so yes, Mr. Goldsmith, you have anything to ask? So then suddenly Mr. Goldsmith gets up. And the surprise of the people gathered, he makes a short announcement that we are very soon going to incorporate a society, and we need signers, or we need signers as trustees of the society. And he asks Srila Prabhupada that, who will come forward? So Prabhupada, in a very usual manner, he says, they are present here, you can take the addresses now. I can take them now? Goldsmith said, yes, yes. Bill, he's saying, Bill, you can give your address. And Raphael, you can give your address. And Don, Roy, Mr. Green, please stand up and give your addresses. And these people are, they don't understand what's happening. Suddenly they are made the trustees of a society. But because they had implicit faith and affection for Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, they come ahead, the whole room is silent, and he takes out from his thin attache, he takes out the papers, and they read. Paper by paper, slowly they are reading what are the contents. And one by one, they sign. Mr. Goldsmith meets his quota of signers. And then he says that how the first trustees will be Michael Grant, Jan, and James Green, which will end in the next annual general meeting. And for the next year, there will be Paul Gardiner, Roy, and Don. And that next year will be Carl Jung, Bill Epstein, and Raphael. So everybody is wondering, why is Swamiji forming a society? Then somebody says, when we receive donations to get tax exemption, we should have a religious society. But they're wondering, who has money here to give donation? It's only Mr. Goldsmith who at the most is earning nicely and will give donation. So why tax exemption? And, a society, an international society, are we going to really increase out of this small storefront? Will it be possible? But that was an amazing vision of Srila Prabhupada, that where he met that person in the garden and said that we have so many temples, we have so many devotees. And that time, he was not just dreaming, but that was the actual fact. And this was the humble beginning. Today is the day when Srila Prabhupada actually ignited that amazing fire of Sankirtan by giving it a legal, a proper social form. That is, by incorporating the society for Krishna consciousness. And in the memorandum, Srila Prabhupada writes the same purposes he had mentioned for League of Devotees. Although after apparent failure at Jhansi, but still his ambitions were same, his effort was same. And here he again is pleading, just as he is leaving to go to America, he's telling devotees that actually the work will be done by Srimad Bhagavatam. But somebody has to take this Srimad Bhagavatam to the West. So I am just accompanying. So please bless this Bhagavatam and also bless me that I can spread this movement. But the same vision, that is the greatness and the advanced stage of Srila Prabhupada, that although after so many apparent failures, but still his motives, his ambition was strong like a mountain. And there he mentions, in the memorandum he mentions, what are the seven purposes of ISKCON. I shall just read them. The first is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people, all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Talking about the knowledge, skill and values. To give people knowledge, to teach them techniques as well as enhance their values in life. Second, to propagate a Krishna conscious society, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, not forgetting the roots. To bring the members of a society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. Fourth is to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. With a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. Much before anything substantial is in hand, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning these amazing motives or these amazing purposes of establishing ISKCON and what will be the Abhidheya process for ISKCON. To establish the consciousness of Krishna, to get the devotees together, to chant the holy names of the Lord, to establish Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita as center of life, and to bring people closer to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And for that, to achieve these purposes, distribute books, magazines and other writings. So, on this auspicious occasion, we shall pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada that in this lifetime we can actually achieve and please by achieving His mercy and glance that which we have already achieved, but strive to fulfill His seven purposes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.